The Frequency 49 show is brought to you by the Niner Empire GB.
Welcome to the Frequency 49 show. I'm your host, Simon Holdsworth. And as James is unfortunately bunged up with black and white fever, joining me this week are Deepak Gohil and Paul Marsh. Good evening, gents.
Good evening, guys.
Good evening.
So this week saw the Niners take on a divisional rivals, the Arizona Cardinals at Levi Stadium. And what was expected to be a one-sided affair turned out to be just that. Led by the four-touchdown Christian McCaffrey and a near-flawless performance from QB Brock Purdy, the Niners ease to a 35-16 victory to go 4-0 on the season. Guys, who should we start with here, Christian or Brock?
Can't really have one without the other, but look, I don't know. But people say that I'm premature in saying it, but I genuinely think he's the real deal. I really do. I think he's played enough games, including playoff games, where he's shown poise, and at times he's like a young Joe Montana. He'll take a sack. He's not going to throw it up in the air and hope for the best. If he gets hit, he's going to get hit. But, you know, he shows maturity beyond his years. And, you know, with an entire career ahead of him, he gets better all the time. So I think we found our franchise quarterback there. CMC is different gravy. Cheat code, next level, creates such an unfair advantage for us to have that guy in our offense. But, yeah, both of them. Instrumental, phenomenal.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Brock Purdy. I mean, I don't think we've played the highest caliber of defenses so far this season. So I'd just like to put that kind of caveat in there. But as you say, he's just coming off an injury. He's clearly not, his arm isn't going to have been in, you know, its peak physical condition yet, I'm sure. And he's getting better. His arm will probably get stronger. And all he's doing is trending in the right direction and looking more. You know, he looked composed from the day he stepped in after Jimmy Garoppolo, got injured last season, and there's not a single step backwards. It's always a step forward for me, and he looks more and more, I'd say, like our franchise quarterback, and I just sincerely hope that, you know, he stays fit because I don't think he's of the level, or certainly proved yet that he's of the level of somebody like Mahomes or Josh Allen. I'm not sure, where he could end up. But I certainly believe wholeheartedly that he's the best quarterback we've had for many, many years, and is the guy to lead us, hopefully, on to a Super Bowl win this year and hopefully many more. Yeah, I think Christian McCaffrey, he's just, as you say, cheat code, brilliant. What can you say, really? Well, the only thing about him is I'm just worried about overuse and using him too much in a long season. That's my only concern.
Say that.
Yeah. But, go on, sorry, Dee.
It is true, I agree. I think we use him a bit too much, and sometimes I think we could afford to pull him out of the game a little bit earlier. But at the same time, we're underusing George Kittle, who is also a cheat code. And Debo Samuel's been a little bit quiet. We've still got Elijah Mitchell, Juwan Jennings. All of these guys can flat out ball on offense, I think. Our offense is formidable, truly, I do.
Yeah, Juszczyk as well. I mean, with so many weapons, and I'd just like to find a way to... It's going to say, because if you could find a way to utilise all of the weapons a bit more and spread it out, you wouldn't even then have to pull him towards the end of the game if you didn't really want to, because you're spreading them out and his workload in the first half and first three quarters isn't so great. That's my only concern is a really long season. He's obviously historically had injury issues. So let's not risk him when we don't have to, and let's lighten the load if we can, because, as you say, just unbelievable talent.
Yeah. I mean, for me, what really impresses me with Purdy is the maturity and how quick he goes through the progressions. He's playing like a veteran. And for someone who's played not very many games in the NFL, as Deepak says, the poise that he shows and the ability to eye off defenders and the ability to read situations and feel pressures coming completely belies his experience. And if we have a look at his stats, I mean, 20 of 21 for 283 yards and a touchdown. I've never, ever seen a completion percentage like that. That is off the charts good. Yes, off the charts good.
His incompletion was on a third and long, I think, to Christian Mack.
Yeah, it was a throwaway, wasn't he? He was under like intense pressure, and instead of taking the sack, he threw the ball away. So even that wasn't even a proper attempt at a pass. It was just the sensible thing to do to avoid the sack. So, I mean, it's just crazy.
And for me, the biggest stat of his this season is a big fat zero, and that's the turnover.
Yeah, yeah.
He hasn't thrown one pick this year. He's not turned the ball over once, which is integral to a winning team. It keeps the defense off the field, so they're fresh, and it just keeps the chains moving. I mean, I think didn't we punt once on Sunday? I think we only punted once.
It goes to show this pick would be very last pick of the draft. How could he have slipped through so many nets? I mean, is he just a freak of nature, or did he become a freak once he left his university? What happened?
I mean, I'm no person who really studies like college stuff and all that, but do you think there's maybe an A? Because obviously the thing where he falls down is obviously on like measurables, isn't it? Like his height and his size, his stature and all that kind of stuff. So maybe people put far too much reliance on the physical traits, where clearly he excels in all of the mental, you know, I mean, not that he's bad in not that he's like tiny and all those kind of things, but he clearly excels for somebody so young with such little experience in the NFL, sort of with all the mental aspects and the poise and the composure. And obviously if they're only going on physical traits, that's clearly, maybe that's something that caused him to slip down the charts.
Definitely. It's the intangible. He's a cerebral quarterback. And that's what Shanahan's offense needs. It doesn't need a Mahomes or, you know, a Michael Vick, Kyler Murray scrambler. It doesn't need someone who's got, you know, a huge arm strength. It needs somebody who is accurate, who gets, because a lot of Shanahan's offense is about timing. And his ability, and he's literally a hand in the glove. It's phenomenal how he's settled in.
The two very best who have ever played the game were not drafted in the first round. Montana was the round pick. I think Tom Brady was a fifth round pick.
Yeah, Tom Brady was fifth. And was Montana third round?
Yeah,
no, I think from some backwater college somewhere, Montana.
You mean Brady, Michigan? It's real, I'll tell you now. Yeah, it does go to show that, I agree with you, Paul, I think they put far too much on height, speed, how fast can he run the 40, what's his vertical leap and all that bullshit. It's the actual intelligence of the kid and his maturity, those things that you can't measure, the intangibles, as you say, are the ones that separate the good from the great, you know. But, I mean, also, he's shooting fish in a barrel with the weapons he's got to choose.
Oh, yeah.
But whichever weapon he chooses, the one consistency will always be yards after contact, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yards after catch. I mean, how many did C-Mac? I haven't seen the stats. How many times did he get hit and he still kept going for another 5-6 more yards, you know?
Yeah, it's just incredible.
That brings us on seamlessly to Christian McCaffrey. Then 20 carries, another 100-yard game on the ground, three touchdowns, and also 70 yards rushing as well. What more can we say about Christian McCaffrey? You know, we spoke a bit about it in the WhatsApp group after the game about how when the trade happened, it was panned by a lot of people.
Yeah, it was quite enjoyable, you know, watching all the tweets that people had sort of tweeted out at the time, saying how dreadful the trade is, or how much we're going to regret it now, that people just keep sort of posting that now, all these people who've made terrible calls about that.
He's unbelievable. There isn't a better running back in the NFL. It's yet another position where we've got the best in the business.
But Tim and Debo, Christian McCaffrey's a running back that can play receiver. And Debo's a receiver that can play running back, you know. And when you've got juice, I mean, I love old style football where a fullback you use on third and one when you've got your jumbo formations, and the fullback, a Tom Rathman type or a William Boyd would just plow through and get you that 1 yard. Mm-hmm. Now we use Juice as a wide receiver. We put him in the slot, you know. So the game has evolved and it's changed. But with all those weapons, and all of them are powerful weapons, are strong weapons. And even when we needed it, Purdy did a quarterback sneak to get the extra yards. And then Shanny completely stuck two fingers up at Arizona and went for it on fourth and five, didn't he? And he completed it.
Absolutely. That was good. I was so glad he went for that. Because that's what, historically, though, he's never been, it shows the confidence he has in Brock. Because, you know, historically, he would never have gone for that. I just don't believe with Garoppolo or anyone else, he would ever have gone for that fourth down.
He always had a very pragmatic approach, didn't he, to fourth down? It was always.
I often got frustrated with times where I thought he should go on fourth down, even with less than five. I'd be like fourth and two or fourth and three or something, and I'm thinking go, and he wouldn't. Very pleased.
Thinking, this is going to really insult Arizona, and they're going to raise their game because we took the piss out of them a little bit by doing that. But well. And the other thing, we did actually give them momentum on a plate towards the end of the second.
Oh, yeah, the game wasn't perfect at all, certainly defensively.
Well, we always do that. We always leave a little bit of an in for somebody to come in and make it a big in. And before you know it, we're like, shit, what's going on? And I think what saved us was that we got the ball back to start the third quarter with. Otherwise, they had the momentum and they just scored a touchdown. They converted a fourth and long themselves. You know, they were killing it. And even though some of them were questionable, one of them was not a catch. It was an incompletion. I don't care what anybody says.
With the touchdown when he was still juggling the ball?
The
ball was kind of half on his shoulder and half in the air. Well, it certainly looked a bit dodgy to me.
And that just dawned on me. The rules are different for every catch, you know, the criteria of a catch. What the hell is it nowadays, you know? I think they should make it like college, 1 foot inbounds and it goes. And
I agree.
Far more exciting to watch, you know.
But certainly they don't need to bring VAR in.
No. But we do. We do have it. It's actually a timeout, which Shanny burns anyway, so, you know. Uh-huh.
I just want to give a very, very honourable mention to somebody else on the offence who hasn't gone under the radar, but is fast becoming one of the... I watched him on Sunday, and he reminded me of Davante Adams in the fact that how he was so open. And there isn't a better route runner in the game at the moment, and that's Brandon Ayuk.
Definitely.
That guy is uncoverable at the moment. He is at a crazy start. Every single one of his receptions this year has either gone for a first down or a touchdown, which is insane.
Unbelievable. He's actually my favourite player on the team at the moment.
That is our wide receiver number one.
I agree.
He is.
Yeah, he really is.
You know, and we've still got Juwan Jennings. We've still got
we were really lucky. Do you remember, what was the name of the guy who went to the Patriots before we had Juwan Jennings?
Kendrick Bourne.
He kind of played a similar role, but they were obviously confident in... because of the way he played, he would get a bigger contract. But obviously, we had Juwan Jennings. I'm just a bit worried. You know, hopefully, sort of Bell or somebody like that. I think we might be in the same situation that when Juwan Jennings' contract comes up, he may not get tons of catches. But when he does, it's usually like for a first down and all this kind of, you know, key involvements. And yeah, what we don't want, obviously, we may well end up losing him in the way we did Kendrick Bourne. And let's just hope that we've got, you know, someone else who can step up in the way that they do, because as I say, it's like a vital function for the team. I think even though it's only the odd, you know, the odd sort of three or four catches a game, maybe.
Well, Juwan Jennings has been known as Mr. Third Down, hasn't he? Because he's our biggest body receiver. Yeah. Is that he makes important catches, you know, drive continuing catches, and they're absolutely integral. I think he's come on leaps and bounds, Juwan Jennings.
Yeah.
How about some love for the defense? They weren't too shabby. They did let Arizona back into the game a little bit, but you know, no one's going to score 30 points on us, I guarantee you. It's not happening.
If we score 30 points every game, we win every game. It's as simple as that. Well, I really believe that.
I'll be interesting to see how we get on against Dallas. I think they're the best team that we're going to face, that we'll have faced so far. And they're a step up in quality beyond...
Apparently, someone who beat them.
I know. But if on paper, they're, you know, certainly defensively, I'm not so, you know, not necessarily. I mean, I know they've lost their, you know, I can't remember the guy's name, the cornerback who was like playing out of this world.
Trevon Diggs.
Yeah, that's him, yeah. But, look, yeah.
That's a good segue to talk about Sunday, right? And this is the way I see it. We've eliminated it from the playoffs in recent history. And, okay, take out Zeke Elliott and Diggs. The Cowboys are still very much the Cowboys. A dangerous team. If you catch them on a bad day, you're screwed, you know. But we are not the same team. We're different. We're much, much better different than we were when we played them in the divisional round 8 months ago. We're a better team now than we were then. They are largely the same team, I'd say.
Well, true. Well, but... we opened up as 3.5-point favourites. And I have read a very, very interesting stat. So you're right, Paul, in what you say about their defence. They have got a great defence. They have got more QB pressures than even the 49ers front four. So they will be coming after Brock Purdy. However, interesting stat. They are 28th in the NFL at conceding yards after the catch.
That's an encouraging stat to hear. Yes, we like that one.
So it screams to me like Shanny will be dialing up some quick screens, bubble screens to avoid the pass rush.
Yeah.
And then it's just on our playmakers to go and do their thing. And if the Cowboys aren't good at making open field tackles, or they're not good at stopping yards after catch, guess what? It's going to be a long day for them.
I think this is where we'll see a lot more of Debo Samuel running jet sweeps, because, again, to contain that pressure that they're going to put their front foot, they're going to be committed. You know, they're going to be committed because their safeties won't know whether they're playing zone or man anymore because they've got no cover. So,
absolutely. Yeah,
and the gaps are going to happen right there. I'll tell you what is going to be so much fun, and I watch it this way anyway, but I just love watching our offensive line play. Okay, I love watching Trent Williams. And, okay, when I say offensive line, I mean Trent Williams. Okay,
because yeah.
Everyone else, you're going to give love to Trent Williams. I don't care, no matter what. The only roster player whose jersey I would pay $400 for him. Now, that's where I think the game's going to be won. And I agree with you. We are going to be dialing up the running game, I think, a lot just to soften them up, that front four.
Mm-hmm.
And then, well, Juice, Brendan Ayuk, Juwan Jennings, George Kittle. That once you've softened that defense up, those guys are waiting. They're hungry. That's their meal ticket. That's their meal bell. Their dinner bell's ringing. That's when they're going to eat.
Well, they're going to have to bring numbers in to pack the box, aren't they? If we're averaging 5.5 yards per carry, which is what Christian McCaffrey's averaging on the ground, they're going to have to bring numbers into the box. And they play a lot of man coverage on the outside. And against our playmakers, man coverage is dangerous. It's a dangerous game to play.
Well, and I think that's why. Yes, they're a strong team, Paul, and you're right. They do have good defense, but I think we're better overall, better offensively, better defense.
Oh, I totally agree. Yeah. And we've proven ourselves to be a good match against them, you know, in the last couple of, you know, few years. So fingers crossed that trend continues.
And Moody can kick well, and the special teams made some really good plays on Sunday, especially with the punt recoveries, you know. But the circus play to catch it on the goal line. He knew he was going to land in for a touchback.
Yeah, so
he just it out again to somebody else. You know, those sorts of plays, those little things that we do, I think are going to be the difference. That will make the difference. I think we will handle these guys and send them back to Texas or wherever the hell they came from.
Well, it's a statement game, isn't it? I think the only thing that people can really leverage at us this year is that we haven't really played anybody of note. Yet we've played the Rams, but I don't, you know, people said the Rams are terrible. The Rams aren't as bad as what people thought.
Yeah, they're not.
And neither are the Cardinals, even though they have a massive lead against the Giants, but they've got it in them to make a game out of it, you know.
Absolutely.
And the margins are really, really small. You really can't say that there's an easy game unless you're playing Denver. who then went on to beat Chicago after conceding.
Yeah, I think Chicago are the yardstick as opposed to Denver, perhaps. But
I read this stat about the Chicago Bears. It's quite distasteful, but I'll share it anyway. Since Queen Elizabeth II has passed, the Bears haven't won.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think you laughed a bit too loud there, my friend. But yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, they have not. They've been winless. They are they're in free fall right now, and that's a shame because they are historically one of the NFL's most mature franchises. They've got a lot of history, a lot of tradition, all that stuff. It does make me feel a little bit sad. And of course, for many British people, we grew up watching the Chicago Bears dominate in the mid '80s with William Perry and Walter Payton and all those guys. Tom Gale on Sky, he was a Bears safety, so it does sound.
He was a great safety as well.
Yeah, nice guy too. I met him at one of the Sky Road shows. Really nice guy. He said, "Do you want to try my Super Bowl ring on?" And I goes, "I'll be honest, I've worn two different 49er rings from Super Bowls. I don't want to taint my hand with wearing them on 49er. I will admire it and say you deserved it." You know, I was very cool about it, but he was a bit taken aback that I didn't want to wear his ring. You know, it's his ring.
Absolutely.
I'll wear that. But yeah.
Absolutely.
And you know, I don't know if you guys saw Mark Lyons. Sorry about the 3-0, by the way, Mark, if you're listening. His pick six, right? So many different upsets are happening this week. It's insane. Nobody managed to get all six right. There's always one team that's just out of nowhere will come in and do a number. In week one, it was Detroit over Kansas City. Who would have thought Detroit would have beaten the Chiefs on an opening day?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and then Dallas lose against Arizona. You know, these are heavy hitters. Philadelphia nearly came a cropper against Washington, you know, against the Cardinals. You know, so these are the margins we're dealing with. And I think two things that could beat us. One is our own complacency, and secondly is injuries. When we're healthy, we're formidable. But I think preseason has shown that if we're not healthy, you know, we may
very much so. In depth. Yeah, those preseason games were, you know, definitely showed up that we're not as strong, you know, in terms of actual depth than we have maybe been in historically. But as you say, as long as we remain healthy, touch wood.
That kind of brings us full circle back to what Dallas might look to do. I mean, you know, the statistics will tell you that the only way you can beat a Brock Purdy-led 49ers team is to take Brock Purdy out. So they're going to be coming for him. Mm. And they're going to be coming for him. You know, Micah Parsons is no joke. I would expect him to line up more on the Spencer Burford side of the line than Trent Williams. But, you know, like I said, this is a statement game, and who better to put them that statement against than those guys?
And I actually think Brock Purdy's got a bit, you know, to prove here, you know, to make that statement, because obviously his worst game was the Dallas playoff game. I know we won and everything, but he didn't, you know, he wasn't brilliant in that game. He certainly wasn't as good as he had been, you know. You know, playoff game, inexperienced. Totally not saying that he should have been better, and obviously we won, and that's fine. I'm not trying to criticise too much, but just obviously, you know, he's obviously got that little bit of history there where it wasn't his best performance, and if he wants to show that he's growing and getting better and being somebody that, you know, is going to be able to perform well in big games, this is a game that, you know, he can actually make a statement, because he can obviously say, well, that, you know, that last game against Dallas was then. This is me now, and, you know, and put in a performance.
The tough games are going to come in thick and fast, though, gents.
Yeah.
Twice. I think we have Washington on our schedule. You know, they're all tough. I don't think you can dismiss any of them as easy wins.
Seattle are a funny team because you go into each season thinking, well, they're going to be garbage and they're going to be rubbish, and they hang around. Mm. They're in the divisional race. I mean, look at last year. They're in the divisional race right up until the last minute. I don't like Pete Carroll. I don't like the Seahawks at all, but you've got to put some respect on those guys because they are there or thereabouts every single year. So, you know, going to Seattle is always a tough game.
The dislike is backhanded respect. Not to be confused with the dislike I have for Dallas. There's no respect on that at all. None whatsoever. No. Zero.
No.
Nothing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't think, you know, as you say, I think we've got plenty of difficult fixtures coming up. Yes, the two Seahawks games. We obviously play the Eagles at some point.
Yeah, Washington.
I know the Bengals haven't started particularly well, have they? Because Burrows is injured. But if he's back to form by the time, I think we play them quite soon. Though I'm not sure if he's sort of more healthy when we play them. They'll be a difficult team. So we've definitely got challenges ahead. But I don't think any of them are ones that we can't overcome. As you say, if we remain healthy, especially, then you know. Yeah, we've got every chance in the world.
We have. I think the entire population of America will be watching that Philadelphia Eagles game.
Yeah, definitely.
It's the third of December, and okay. It's at Lincoln Financial Field.
Yeah, we're away. I know that.
But the whole of America
that could
will
be the number one seed deciding game. That could be.
Or it may not be. It could be decided.
It may not be. It may not be, but it certainly could be.
Philly have eminently shown themselves to be beatable. They've scraped out a couple of wins. They haven't dominated as such.
They really haven't. They haven't pushed anybody around.
That kind of worries me, though, because effectively that means they're not, you know, they're not hitting their stride yet. And you know, but they're still eking out wins. And if they're, you know, if they're a team where, you know, as often is the case, the first few weeks can be, you know, can be a bit of a the team needing to gel with the players that they've exchanged and all that kind of stuff. And if they're still eking out wins, but they've got, you know, significant improvement to come, then they could be a formidable opponent. But yeah, time will tell, won't it? It could be a sign that they're not as strong as they were last year, and they are eminently beatable. So we'll obviously see what happens.
But the general buzz is really around us, league wide. People are talking.
Oh yeah. I think that worries me a bit. Though I'm not sure how comfortable I sit with that. I think I'd rather we just went under the radar a little. And
I sit very comfortably with it because the last time we won a championship, the buzz was about us. Legit, it's about us. People aren't stupid. They know that on both sides of the ball, this team will dominate you. Given you give them one little inch, and they will take the whole damn field. And then they remind me of the Raiders. They don't take what they're given; they'll just take what they want. You know,
yeah.
They will take what they want. And the attitude is right. I mean, Shani is you know getting the most out of these players. But I still think, like you said about the Eagles, Paul. You know, we're still gelling a little bit. We still make mistakes. Yeah. We still allow teams back in when we shouldn't be, you know. But overall, I think it's fair to say that it's not death by a thousand paper cuts. It would piss off. It's like a lioness playing with its food before it just says, right, I'm just going to eat you now. You know, it's one of those. Yeah, I think this team, with every passing game, I see something in there that makes me think, how long can they go on for unbeaten? Just how long can they keep this up for? I think a couple of seasons ago when we went to the Super Bowl, I think we did 9 or 10 straight.
Yeah, I think it was something like that, yeah.
You know, I'm not saying we could go all the way. I'm not saying that's going to happen. But when you're 4-0, if you go 5-0, there's no reason why you shouldn't be determined not to lose a single game of football.
I don't know whether I'd be pleased for us to go the whole season unbeaten or not.
I just
wonder whether a defeat in there to kind of remind them that they can be beaten isn't a good thing.
No. I want the perfect season. If that's on the cards, I want it. I want it so badly we can end this Don Shula bullshit because he did nothing after he won that perfect season. He did nothing. Nothing
is
at all.
Is it not 50 years? Was it 73, the Dolphins?
72, Miami won.
72.
Yeah, right. I think it's 72. Okay. The perfect. He did jack shit apart from a Super Bowl where guess who murdered his team?
Yeah. A team in red based in California.
And he also had Dan Marino. So I love Don Shula. I think he's a great coach. I've read his books and comes across as one of the true legends of the game, deserves his place in Canton, blah, blah, blah. But it's time for somebody else to take that mantle.
Yeah,
and it's certainly be a good way for Shanahan to brush off, you know, obviously there's obviously the criticism of him not being able to sort of handle the fourth quarter and too many, you know, if he did a perfect season and won the Super Bowl, that would be one heck of a way to prove your doubters wrong.
Only one coach has ever done it. And with respect to Don Shula, he's not spoken of like Vince Lombardi was. You know, Bill Walsh won more than Vince Lombardi did in real terms, and he's not revered like Lombardi was. So all these genius coaches that people laud, I'm like thinking, hey, all it's going to take is a perfect season, and that's an exclusive club of two people, one who sadly has passed away. But
yeah.
I do think in our lifetime we will see a team do a perfect season. I'm just glad it wasn't the Patriots. They had that chance and they blew it.
Yeah, and now look at them. Yay. I love where the Patriots are right now.
There's talk that it might be Belichick's last season. They might sort of move him upstairs or move him away and do a complete rebrand. I personally think that would be insanity. He's the guy you want.
Absolutely.
The problem is, does he still have the motivation, though, to...
Oh, he definitely does.
I suppose that's the question.
I think he does. I think he plays every single game to win. I mean, I don't like the Patriots, blah, 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 but I throw an enormous amount of respect on that coach. I think he's...
Sure.
You know, I think he will go down with the Lombardis and the Bill Walshes of the game because of what he's achieved. It's phenomenal, you know.
Yeah, he's a dynasty coach, isn't he?
100%.
Without a shadow of a doubt. So just going back to and kind of linking back to sort of our rivalry with the Eagles and also, you know, records. Has anybody won the Super Bowl with two different teams in successive years?
As a coach?
No, as a player.
I'm trying to think if Deion Sanders
won it. The only one that I thought maybe was Deion Sanders with us.
Maybe he might have because he went to Dallas, played for us, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. I just think Javon Hargrave, the pickup of Javon Hargrave from Philadelphia, has strengthened us massively and weakened the Eagles massively.
That guy is phenomenal. Oh, we didn't even
mention... win, though, did he? He just got to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, of course they didn't win. Yeah, of course. No, Kansas City won, didn't they?
Yeah. He's a good football player, though.
Yeah, he's been a great pickup.
Yeah, it's very a great
pickup. Phenomenal addition.
Not often you get to take one of the best pieces of your main rival's jigsaw.
But that's all part of it, isn't it? You weaken your team, the opposition, and improve yours at the same time. So it's a double loss, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, I enjoy these sessions with you guys. And each time we talk, you know, I get more and more optimistic about this season because I think it will be just this season. I think this is it. This is our chance. Mm-hmm. Don't do it this year. That's it.
Yeah. Well, Brock, but look, going back to last season, regular season, Brock Purdy hasn't lost a game yet.
He hasn't.
And he's getting better. And the team, as you rightfully said, Deepak, in my opinion and yours, are getting better.
Yeah.
And every week, there's something new that they're showing us. And this team hasn't peaked yet.
Yeah. I don't know. The only two weaknesses it has is itself. If they start believing their own hype, that's not good. Mm-hmm. They need to stay really grounded. And secondly, injuries. That's the thing that worries me. And
well, my third concern is cornerback. I do worry that depth at cornerback is because when Ambry Thomas was on the field during that 99-yard drive, he looked terrible.
Yeah. Okay. No, this is a fair comment, you know. If we're going to pick holes, yeah, maybe a cornerback. But I think once we, if we win, all bets are off. You know, we're going to lose some big, big hitters. We probably lose Debo. I think Brendan Ayuk will be the main guy. You know, I think Brock Purdy will need paying elite money if he's going to do elite things.
Yeah.
You know.
I was explaining to Paul before we kind of came on air that there was someone put side by side the stats between Brock Purdy and Daniel Jones of the Giants and how much they earn and the stats. And Daniel Jones is on something like $40 million.
Yeah.
And Brock Purdy isn't even on a million. And the stats side by side are just, you know, incredible. We're getting tremendous value with Brock Purdy in terms of being able to build in and around him because of the lack of cap space that he takes up with him being on a rookie contract. It's incredible.
Speaking of megabucks, I want to see a little more of Nick Bosa. I want to see him do a little bit more. You know, I think
he's definitely.
I think he's playing well. I don't think he's playing badly, but I want to see
he's the highest graded defender in this season so far on PFF.
I know, but he's not performing to how we're used to him performing, and that's a scary thing.
He's just not getting the sacks. He's still on pressures. He's still got the tackles for loss. He's still got everything. He's just... QBs are getting the ball out quicker. They have to.
They've got no choice.
Yeah, but I think they're obviously game planning that, aren't they? Because they know that they can't dawdle without front four.
Or he's not chopped liver either. That guy can play. He'll hurt you.
We're stacked. Our defensive line is stacked. Right up to even players who've come in, like Drake Jackson, Clelin Ferrell. I noticed Javon Kinlaw got a few reps on Sunday, and he nearly knocked James Conner into next week with one hit.
Yeah, it's good to see him playing fit and healthy,
Yeah.
Drake Greenlaw is having a year. This
Greenlaw was flying around, wasn't he?
Animal, he really is. I mean, obviously, occasionally, obviously, goes that over the mark, and he obviously gave away that personal foul, didn't he? But or was that the game before? But I'm okay with the odd occasional foul when he plays so violent and so so aggressive.
We are stacked on D. I'm glad we talked a little bit about the defense because we are loaded on that side of the ball too.
If you get chance, the Niners have on their YouTube channel they had Juice mic'd up this week. And which they're always good fun. George Kittle was one of them as well, and he's always massively entertaining. Fred Warner just makes you want to run through a wall when you listen to him. But Juice was commenting on Andre Greenlaw, and he was like, "Man, he's just like that guy is a dog." And I think that's the perfect way to sum him up. He's just violent.
Really. Yeah,
again, we talked about players of position and who's got the best in the league. I don't see. There's perhaps the Ravens who've got Patrick Queen and who's the other guy that they picked up? And the other guy, I can't remember who it is, who are perhaps in the same conversation as Fred Warner and Dre Greenlaw, because they're outstanding.
Fred Warner's in a category all to himself, though.
I think so.
The people are making comparisons now between this 49er team and the 1984 team, and they're already doing it, and I'm like, yeah, I don't know. I think it's interesting they didn't say the 89 team, because there wouldn't be a conversation then. That 89 is it. It's the ultimate, in my opinion. It would have been the 84 team too. But
yeah,
I think there is it's time now for this franchise to claim its place back at the very top of the game. It's been knocking on the door for far too long, over the last 10 years.
Yeah, they need to get over that hurdle.
We do, and I think the missing
piece... Because like you say, though, because for a number of players, I'm not sure... I mean, I say I'm no cap expert, so I'm not... But, the concern is that, you're not going to keep this group of players together. I mean, still keep many of them, but not all of them together. Yeah, I think, it seems like we're at the peak of the mountain, potentially, of our starters and their abilities and their quality. And, even though we might have a chance next season, this is the peak of the mountain.
Yeah, people will need paying. There's no doubt about that.
Absolutely.
So the draft.
Roquan Smith is that Baltimore linebacker. Okay, guys. Well, look. I think it's probably time we looked at wrapping this up. We have.
I didn't even realize we were doing a show. I just thought
we were literally just chatting football. It's been great, guys. Thank you very much for your time. So from Paul and Deepak, I've been the host, Simon Holdsworth, and go Niners.
Go Niners.
Go Niners. Right.